What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 38 of Value Town. I'm your host, Chanman V, and joining me as always is Trump. What's going on, Trump? Got the TSM hat on. The bear over there. Awesome. And then our guest today is Tice from Team Meet Your Maker. How's it going, buddy?
Yeah, thanks for having me in the show. It's going fine with me.
All right, good stuff. Well, got a lot of stuff to talk about today, but we might as well just jump into the big news right off the bat, obviously Next, and then we'll continue on with a lot of other news going on with IEM and Meta, and we'll talk about Dex as we always do. But let's talk about the Next news. That's obviously just been announced. I think it was announced exactly like an hour ago, but we finally have a release date, guys, and it's going to be next Tuesday, basically the next maintenance period. What do you guys think?
All right, I have to start off with this one.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, so with Nax coming out, everything will change. So to that, I have to say, say goodbye to the pain of the past. We don't have to feel anymore, because Nax is coming out the door.
Yes. That pretty much sums it up. I think that sums it up for the majority of the players these days. Because you know a lot of people have been talking about the meta, which we'll get to in a second. But yeah, you know, a lot of speculation that was going to be this week because of a lot of these clues or these innuendos people were reading into. I think they might have been overly reading into. They were thinking it was going to be this week, but next week. Tice, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm really hyped. I can't wait to test all the new cards, test new decks, making new decks, seeing other decks on the ladder and not the standards that are out now.
Yeah.
I'm really hyped for the cards that come out.
I don't even know what Deck Wars is going to be like next week. Each week to week, right? The dungeons will come out, the new cards will be introduced, so it's going to be pretty insane. The metagame is just going to be crazy, and then we're going to be crossing over seasons, too, during all this. So I wonder, do you think we'll have any phenomenon where there'll just be people who just happen to be good in this really short period of time that get into the world champs and, you know, that sort of thing? Or do you think, it's not going to be that big of a change with just like just a few cards here?
I think the world meta will change with so many death rattles, so many changes in the meta. I think it will really change the meta really hard, but that's just a prediction.
Let me put it this way. About 2 months ago, I think it was, mm-hmm. one card was reduced in mana cost by one, and the entire meta shifted, like, completely, and all the decks were viable, and everyone was playing, like, everything. And
that's
that,
true.
For those not in the know, was Unleash the Hounds, nerfed by one mana.
Yep, and then, that's true, that's very, very true. So we'll be seeing some new cards in the first dungeon being the free dungeon. Which will be the Arachnid Quarter. So definitely be sure to... I think all you have to do is log into... You know, just like jump into the first dungeon and you get it free the rest of the time. So it's only free for 1 month. So be sure to check it out just as soon as you can. But Tuesday should be a pretty great day. I think basically all the streamers will be streaming it. So lots of good stuff for the community. Can't wait. And all right. Yeah, everybody's been anticipating it. So good stuff. All right, let's talk about IEM Shenzhen. Have you guys been watching the event? It's been at some crazy hours, given that it's in China. But have you guys been following it?
I've watched the most of the games. Not all the games, but... Yeah, I watched... yesterday I watched it, everything, and today two of the four matches. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm really following the IEM.
Actually, before we talk about anything more, I just want to alert guys, we're going to have some spoilers if you guys didn't watch any of the matches from, I guess, today for us. So you might want to mute the sound for about 5-10 minutes here while we talk about it. I know a lot of people haven't watched the VOD yet, but I think we should talk about it given that it's this week and the finale is going to be this weekend. So mute, I'll give it like 5 seconds, and then we'll talk. Okay, what do you guys... So, what have you thought about the matches? Actually, Trump, have you been watching it, too?
I was asleep.
Okay. Actually, I was asleep, too, but then I ended up watching the VODs, like, just now. But, Tice, what have you thought about the matches so far?
It was really interesting. You also had people were allowed to ban one class, so it was something different from other tournaments overall. And it was really interesting because people everyone was banning Priest against the Maze, and they banned also Warrior and Warlock. They weren't not scared about Druids and Miracle Rogues. I thought everyone will ban the Miracle Rogues and the Druids, but a lot of games were just really open. You had some really close games, some really games that went really one-sided.
Yeah.
It was really interesting to watch.
Yeah, the banning, I kind of like that whole system. I too was surprised that Miracle Rogue wasn't banned a lot more. But what do you guys think of that format? Do you guys like it?
Yeah, I really like a format with just banning one class. It just your opponent has to play more, prepare more decks. They need to if a player is really good at Miracle Rogue. Mm-hmm. It's really good that he needs to play more decks and people banning out the Miracle Rogue against him. It's just more of a preparing step. I really like the format. Mm-hmm. And also with the group stage and best of five is way better than a best of three. So I really like that. You need at least best of five. I really like best of seven. But yeah, best of five is okay too.
Yeah, Trump, what do you think?
Oh, wow. So there was a ban and a best of five. That's really good of a format.
Yeah, so I guess you bring four decks, and then your opponent bans one of them. Probably they have the format there.
They bring four decks, and they can just ban one class, so you have three classes left.
Yeah. Trump, what do you think of banning?
It's great. I'm not sure what to say past that. Like, obviously it has own implications. Like, you can bring more specific decks which have like one big counter, but you ban the counter or you just ban their best class. Introduces a bit more of a strategic element, increases preparedness, so that is excellent.
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm just gonna go on limit. I think that'll probably become the standard eventually, just having this kind of banning process. We've seen banning in different games already, just esport games like League of Legends and Dota 2 and even StarCraft with banning maps. So I could totally just see the same thing in this. Adds kind of an entertainment factor too, just in the beginning, you know, if you can add it to the production too, and just having, you know, just seeing why the players banned that and that sort of thing. It's kind of cool. But yeah, the matches were pretty, I mean, it started off surprising having Strife just getting 3-0'd there. That surprised me, but he didn't draw very well during those three games, I think was the sum of that. But the Amaz game, did you watch that Ragnaros game where he had Ragnaros on the board for like seven turns or something like that?
That was so painful. And Masana just had no answer, and the Ragnaros was also just hitting every time the minion, or like just most of the time it was just hitting the minion, and when it hit, you walled hit the face to not destroy the totem, it went to the face. So yeah. The Ragnaros from Amaz is it's a really good Ragnaros.
It's a special Ragnaros. He's got that deal with him. No, you should have seen it, Trump. It was. I felt so bad for Masan. He was playing Shaman. He had no answer for Rag. So he was just throwing totems, throwing minions every single turn on the board. And Amaz couldn't remove them all. So it was just like Ragnaros was RNGing like every single turn. It was insane, man. But yeah, so Amaz ended up taking that too. Amaz, man, he gets that Innervate Yeti a lot, or Innervate coin a lot too, just this tournament. So he's been working out pretty well for him. The RDU match though, the last one, oh my god, that was exciting. Went down to the it went down to game five, but that game five even went down to the wire. It was pretty crazy. But
it was a really exciting match. The last match, he was 2-1 behind RDU, and after that he had a mid warrior left. We practiced a lot with that mid warrior, and in the last match, both players had no lives left, no cards in the hand. It was just what draws the better minions, but at the last point, the guy from China had just no lives left and had two cards in his deck, and RDU just draw his Gnomish, and that was the game.
Yeah, definitely. That was exciting. Even the Geno versus Jackie Chan series had a crazy game where one of them was a Warlock, I believe. like a zoo lock, and then the other was, God, I can't even remember what the other guy was, but that even went down to like three or four turns of just drawing, just to see what each other was getting, and they would just be sure of lethal both of them by one each time they drew. It was pretty exciting. Overall, though, what do you think about the Chinese players and the Asian players from what you guys have seen?
Yeah, they have some like it's not that different from the Europe and from the people from America, and they almost play the same decks. They have some interesting shaman decks, like it's more OTK shaman that they are playing, and a bit more control with the druids. But overall, it's really the decks are really similar in my opinion, and the play style is also not way different. I think they play a bit more carefully than we shall do. But they played really well. They're surprising me a bit. But mm-hmm. Yeah, we didn't have tournaments from them before, so we didn't know what we could expect from the Chinese people.
Yeah, Trump. What? How much of the tournament have you seen? Have you seen any of the group stages? Or
I've seen literally zero of it.
Zero of it. Okay, so great. Never mind then. No, the Chinese players I think have been having really great showings. Again, I think we've only had maybe one or two events, the 2p.com event being one of them, or actually two of them, right, that we've gotten a chance to see some of them in the past. And quite honestly, the Western teams have just, like, dominated them, even in those events. So it looks like, they're starting to definitely up their game, just being able to get at least, two people in here? Yeah, two people in Taiwan and China here in the mm-hmm. group of four or the semifinals here in this tournament. So definitely good showing. But the finals should be tomorrow or late tonight, I guess, for most of us. So, or the semifinals will be late tonight. So check that out. It's going to be Taiwanese and Chinese player Azira versus Gino, and then on the other side it's going to be Amaz versus RDU. So it's going to be
a rematch
of the DreamHack finals. So it should be exciting, and I'm sure, given the games that we've seen so far, there should be some Ragnaros craziness. You can't ban Ragnaros. If you could just ban one card from Amaz, I'd be banning Ragnaros for sure, because it's all over the place. What do you guys, actually, one thing before we actually move on, what do you
think? I shall just play two faceless.
Two faceless instead, so you can copy
yeah,
this.
Yeah, just play two faces against him, so you can get his Ragnaros. He will just hit the Ragnaros of Amaz, so it's just the best minion you killed here.
Ooh, that's good, man. That's good metagaming right there. What do you think about the players banning his priest? Trump, what do you think about that?
Oh, man. There's a... If there's one thing I've heard about IEM, there's, like, chatter about the... Lol, everyone's burning... banning priest against Amaz. I don't know whether or not they brought decks specifically which happened to be weak against priest, though I'm not entirely sure what those are. He's playing an unpopular class, and he's well-known for it, and I suppose there's some value in banning out what you perceive to be their best class.
Yeah, or you're not or still something you're not familiar with either, right? The comfort level, maybe.
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah.
But I think against Masan shall probably ban the druid. He had some three classes that were really okay or good against priest. So I think he could probably ban. He shall probably ban druid over it. But yeah, he's just so comfortable with his priest. So people are just more scared for it. And it's hard to play against priest if you never played against priest.
I think that's the biggest reason too. It's like if you haven't practiced against the Amaz, and because I think he plays that priest the best in the world. And if you haven't gotten a chance to familiarize yourself with the style that you should be playing against it, then it can be difficult. And he ends up pulling out a lot of crazy wins with it too. It's pretty cool. But okay, but anyways, guys, yeah, definitely check out the semifinals. It's going to be again tonight. And then we actually have DreamHack Valencia coming up. I think it starts today. I'm not sure where you can watch it. The English cast. So me and Raynad, we're going to cast the English cast, but they have they've been having technical issues. So there's not going to even be an English cast to DreamHack Valencia.
Oh.
Yeah, but there should be a Spanish cast, so you can actually watch it. Won't understand the casters, but you can, check out the games. Hopefully today, tomorrow, and Saturday. So check that out, too. Another big event, obviously, in the community.
What do you mean, won't be able to understand? Muy bien.
Muy bien. Muy bien. Bien. Bueno! That'd be amazing. I think, you know, some of the European casters, they have so much energy, man. Like, some of them cast at, like football games. I just listen to the Italian cast sometimes on StarCraft, and I'm just, like, so entertained, even though I don't understand a bit of what they're saying. But check that out, for sure. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about, the metagame. Even though the metagame is going to only be, lasting for another 5 days, I kind of want to get your thoughts on just the last, week or so of laddering and what you guys seen. There's been a lot of complaints, obviously, from players that they just don't want to play, like, I guess, Hearthstone until Naxx comes out. I mean, just throw it out there, right? And there's been several. It's not just, like, Raynan. I mean, there have been other people, too, that said the same thing. And I kind of want to get your thoughts, both of your thoughts. Trump, I'll start with you.
All right. Well, there's some who would argue about how the game is Frostone and how so much of it is about just RNG, but from my experience and I've spent some of the time watching Kalenta in particular, and when I always see him, I'm like, he does so well consistently. I doubt it's entirely that. Of course, there's always an element, but you can get an edge, and you can even get an edge running a deck that everyone knows that you're running and that you're good at. So my perspective, it's kind of silly.
Okay, and meta just in general? What do you think of the meta right now?
Let me look up the stats, and I'll get back to you.
Okay, sounds good. Tice, what do you think of the current meta right now in ladder?
Yeah, it didn't change a lot. It's just the same like almost with a month ago. You see the paladins now on ladder sometimes from Kalenda, but it was more in hype for some days. I don't see it the last days anymore. It's still a lot of Miracle Rogue, still a lot of Druids. You're seeing some Shamans now. You see some Aggro Rogue versions, the Backspace Rogue is really popular on the ladder now, yeah. And yeah, also people are just trying stuff now. They don't care about that much more anymore. They just want to try new things. But I think overall it's just really the same as it was already.
Okay. Yeah, I've been trying to get to Legend with not exactly Kalenta's Paladin, just like a little bit mod to it, just kind of my own mods to it. And in that kind of rank 2, rank 1 area, you see a lot of aggro mage now too. I mean, just more and more, just mages actually in that area. And the, like you said, the Backspace Rogue. I actually see more Backspace Rogue than I do Miracle Rogue right now in that area. But
yeah, I had the same today.
Yeah. It's good, man. You can die in like turn 5 against the Backspace Rogue, or the turn 6 if they draw those shadow steps really, really well. But yeah, so not too much different, guys. Trump, I saw you trying to ladder up the last couple of days. Have you had any deck that you've had more success with than not? I mean, I guess you're looking at your stats right now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually going to say that it's been going disastrously for me as I try to ladder up with a Miracle Rogue, which actually tells me either I'm supremely unlucky, or the more likely scenario is that it actually is a deck that requires quite a learning curve to learn. But yeah, before it gets nerfed, that's probably the deck that I'm going to stick with before Naxx comes out. And I look forward to Naxx coming out and being able to take trailblaze a different path.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've talked in the past, Trump and I, just on Valuetown with other guests, and just trying to get up to that top 16 mark takes just such a, a really, really good record, just at least, getting up there and being there consistently. Tice, what does it take to do that? Because, it does seem like, when I think about it, it's just how can you go 20-1, or something like that, or 20-2 on the ladder, which, a lot of these people are doing. How do you actually pull that off given the current metagame?
Yeah, I'm happy that I had it the first season. I was, at the end of this first season, I was legendary rank 6 at Euro, so I already got my qualifier spot, which I'm really happy with. So how I did it, I was really fast legend after 5 days or something. I went immediately to 20, and I had a really good streak with 8 wins in a row or something when not a lot of people were legend yet. From that point, I was rank 3, I think, 2 or 3, legend rank 2 or 3. Mm-hmm. I was just sitting at my place, like 10 days, literally 10 days. I fell down to 10, played 2 or 3 games, won them all, was again at 3. Then I dropped down again. Then I lost the game, and I was immediately 18. Oh. So that was a bit rough, from 10 to 18. And then I won again 5 games. Last day, I went down again. I went at 17. The hour before before the season ended, so I needed to play one game, and I was immediately 6. So that was how I took my top 6.
That sounds crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. Like, it's really hard, and I'm so happy that I had it the first season. I think the first season was actually, I think it's harder now than it was in the first season, because a lot of more people trying it now.
And there's just more people playing, period, right? Yeah. Like Hearthstone.
Yeah, I can't emphasize how, like, this is a little bit of bias, but I feel it because I've tried last month and the month before. This is the hardest month. The decks have been more established, and people know how to play against the top decks, and people know how to play those decks at a very strong level. And there's not much left to throw curveballs left at them, but this coming week I'm really excited about, because it'll change everything.
And August is the last month, right?
Yeah, we have another month.
Yeah, I mean, July, obviously this month, the remainder of this month, and then August will be the last month. So we've still got basically 1.5 seasons left. And Nax, you know, you can make a big run. You know, if you can come up with a cool deck and make an awesome run. But Tice, you know, you saying that the first 5 days seem to be, like, super important for you to just establish that MMR, like, really, really high.
Maybe not the first 5 days, but after the 5 days, I went on a really good streak with 8 wins in a row, and that was really important, I think, that I had that streak. And
but getting it early, I think getting the early MMR seems to be important.
Yeah, it's all about the win rate. Like, if you had Legend and you make an 8 win streak, then your win rate is so high that it's really hard for other people to get at your win rate. I think that is really important too. And I just had a really good deck in that meta. Everyone was playing Hunter. I had a Druid that was totally countering the Hunter.
Yeah.
And I, from the 8 matchups, it was just 7 Hunters or something. And yeah, that helped me a lot.
Yeah, nowadays, like, there's just so many different decks now. Yeah, it's not as overbearing with, even Miracle, right? Miracle, like maybe a season ago, it just, like, everybody was playing it. So you could go backspace Rogue Butter and pull off like a string of victories. Nowadays, man, it's tough. It's definitely tough.
Yeah, I was already top. I was 3 days ago, I was top 10. But yeah, I fell down. I was streaming and trying too much decks for the viewers and went down hard with all the decks. And now I'm just sitting around 300 or 400. But I will make a comeback, I hope.
Yeah. Okay, well, it's good stuff. Hopefully you guys keep grinding it out, get into that top 16 this season, and the next cards would definitely help. I can't. What are the cards that are going to come out in the first dungeon? It's going to be the web spinner, and I forget the others. I'm gonna have to take a look at that. But we can rehash it next week. So lots of good stuff. Maybe some Hunter decks actually going to be showing up in the meta. All right, let's move on and let's do some deck talks like we always do on Value Town here. And I figured we'd talk about this Zeus Shaman because a lot of people were starting to talk about it a little bit since Strifeco broke it out. Well, what's funny is, like, I was watching Reels' stream the other day when he started his EU account, and you know I can't even remember if he bought packs or he just got started with just even an arena, but he ended up being able to build like somewhat of a Zeus deck, so that's kind of what he ended up going with. And you know, just watching, I was like, man, you know, I never actually ended up playing this Zeus deck, the DKMR Zeus deck. And I don't know, the way he was playing it against the current meta, especially against like Druid and stuff, it seemed to be working like phenomenally, because it gets so much. For those of you that don't know what the Zeus deck is, I kind of put it up here. It's basically a Shaman deck that has a lot of spell damage in it. You know, things like the Ancient Mage that kind of gives you, you know, two plus two if you have minions to the left and right of it, and lots of things like that, and it allows you to do like Lightning Storms that have like amazing amounts of damage, which can clear like Ward for Druid. And I was like, man, that looks kind of interesting and cool. I kind of wanted to play it, but I wanted to get Legend of Paladin first before I tried it. And then Strife at IEM Shenzhen yesterday, like, broke it out, like, something that looked pretty similar to it. It wasn't exactly the same because it had Violet Teachers in it, but, you know, something very, very similar with the four Clidings and everything, too. So I kind of wanted to get you guys' opinion on this deck and maybe what you guys think of it in the current meta. Trump, I'll let you start off.
Wow, that is so edgy, first of all. Yeah. I love that Strathcrow was willing to take, and I presume he's been, like, secretly practicing it a bit, take something like this over to a major tournament. I was reminded a bit about Total Biscuit's, like, spell damage gimmick deck.
The gimmick deck, yeah.
Yeah, ran Ancient Mage and other things. Mm-hmm. And this is, like, a really good example of how something that might seem like a gimmick is actually good in practice when you put, like, not even good cards with it. Like, Fork Lightning is generally accepted as a bad card.
Right.
But you put those together and you put in the other supporting cast of cards and you'd make it less based on the Zeusiness and you just take more elements from the solid shaman and you, like, pick and choose. Like, it feels more like a mix of the two decks where you mix the theoretical nature of a Zeus deck with, like, the more standard and solid backbone of a shaman deck. And then you get something which looks pretty brilliant. So my props to Strathcrow for it.
Yeah. Tice, what do you think of this deck? Or just Zeus and then just what we've seen of Strife's deck, because it's incomplete.
It was really ballsy for him to bring out a deck like this. Just a strong thing is that people don't know how to play against a deck like this. That's always really good in tournament play if people don't know how to play against it. And it's not a new deck. I saw it already like 2 months ago, but it was just not popular. It was played in a small tournament, and the deck left. But I didn't thought he would bring a deck like this, and I was really surprised. I'm really respecting that he's bringing this first deck.
Yeah, I mean, he had so much success on the first day that Azuri, like today, he banned it. That was the deck he banned of Strathcrow.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't get
that is probably just because you don't know how to play against
it. Right.
I think that's the important factor.
So getting, I guess, to specifics, because we never discussed the Zeus deck on Valleytown. What do you think is, like, why is it so strong? Like, why is having additional spell damage, particularly in the Shaman class, so strong? Trump?
Okay, I don't really know since I didn't play the deck. However, I theorize that you play the Ancient Mage, and then, well, I mean, when you think about it, a 2/5 with for 4 mana with 2 spell damage, like, that would be a good card. And when you put in a shaman, you often can get those turns where you're doing something like turn 3, totem, rockbiter their guy, turn 2, totem, turn 4, totem, kill their guy. And then you somehow end up with, like, 2 totems or 3 totems. And then you play an ancient mage, and then you, like, fork lightning their Gadzan auctioneer, you lightning storm the Gadzan auctioneer. And that's pretty cool. Or you just do massive amounts of damage. Spell damage, I mean, look at how many spells there are. There's Fork Lightning, Lightning Bolt, there's Lava Burst, there's Lightning Storm. So that's a lot of value for the spell damage, in addition to the Shaman just naturally getting the spell damage totem. You can get so much value out of those one-cost cards.
So many,
it runs so many cheap spells, so there are so many ways to get spell damage on the board, and the Shaman class is just the class with the cheapest spells, and that makes it just so strong to get it on. Like, if it rolls, it can roll really high. But I think it's a really good counter to some decks. I think that is the point why you should bring it. I think it can be really strong against Druid, because most of the time you can create the board. But yeah, I'm not sure how the matchups are for this deck, but it looks really interesting. Like, really interesting.
Yeah, I feel like it's pretty easy just to integrate it, because, like, Trump, you were kind of getting at, I think Shamans in general, you know, the style of play is just getting minions on the board, right? Setting up, you know, typically you're just trying to set up some really efficient trading opportunities with your Flametongue and just establishing that kind of control, right, of the board. And so throwing down an ancient mage, it just makes sense. And then when you have like an air totem with it too, you're looking at +3 spell power. Which is essentially going to remove anything but a giant, right? Which is, you know, with any of your spells, like with Lightning Bolt, with Lightning Storm, or anything like that. So it feels like it's just really easy to integrate into the whole thing. It looks like Strife's looks like Strife literally just dropped a couple cards, or I guess 3 cards, right, if he has a Fork Lightning, from the standard druid, and just put, you know, and just kind of integrated just the ability to remove an entire board, right? Because a shaman, a lot of times it's rolling high too, right, to whether you can clear a board completely or not. But this pretty much makes it, I think, pretty guaranteed that you're going to remove the board a lot of times. Any matchups you think it would be, like, any matchups you can think of that's just really good against, like, off the top of your head, from theory?
Maybe Sue. I don't know. You earn so many, many spells that you can get rid of every card that he's spamming.
Yeah.
Maybe. I also see some way for this deck that it can work against Druid. I'm not sure if it's really worked, but I can see some way. Like, Shaman is a class that is always. It's always a good matchup against the Druid. It's a bit harder now with the mid-range Druid that has a lot of tempo. Mm-hmm. But I can see a way that this deck can work against Druid. You have some time to get a board, and maybe you need it with this deck. But I really don't know. I have never played this deck before, so.
Yeah, it's hard to just completely theorize. But Trump, what do you think?
This is +1 on 5 spam. I genuinely don't know. Seems like something that might be a solid all-around deck.
Yeah.
Similar to Druid, where it's like, it's tough to say whether or not it has good or bad matchups. It just looks like it's a solid deck.
I like the flexibility of the spell damage, too, because it gives you the ability to burn a guy down, too, with Lava Burst and Lightning Bolt, potentially, at the end of the game, just given that Lightning Bolt's so cheap, too. Kind of cool. But yeah, those of you, you know, watching, just check it out. Just try it out. You know, if you're interested in maybe learning a new deck or just trying something new. This deck seems pretty cool. I actually want to get a chance to play it some too, given just the interest in it. And again, I was watching Reels play it like one night. You can actually check out his VOD too if you guys, from maybe 2 nights ago when he was playing it. Definitely interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I can't help but think it's quite interesting. Like, for the longest time, mm-hmm. you think of Shaman, okay, it's a Shaman deck, but you know what a Shaman deck is. It's got like all the Shaman-y good cards. And then suddenly, like, over the last 2 weeks, or last month, 2 other decks of Shaman were growing in popularity. Like, this one just 2 days ago, and then the Crusher Shaman with the Earth Elemental and the Ancestral Spirits. Like,
yeah.
You've got your own distinct flavors of Shaman, too, which is awesome.
Yeah, totally.
Shaman is so interesting. You can learn so many ways. You can just do a mid-range version. You can make it really control. You can make it with Earth Elementals and cards like that. You can make it
the crush
like a total, like a total OTK deck. You can make it spell damage happy. With Shaman, you can run so many ways. It's a really interesting class.
Yeah, it's always been one of the most dynamic classes, just with just all the different types of minions and abilities in it. So it's good to see that we're starting to see the dynamics of it coming out more, which is really good. All right, guys, well, what we'll do is, didn't really give you guys a heads up, and we don't actually have a thread up, so I want to do some Q&A with you guys, but I want to give you a chance to tweet them in. Tweet them to @ChainManB, and we'll start asking some questions, but just to give you guys some time, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back with some Q&A. All right, guys, we are back, and we're going to do some Q&A now with you guys. Thanks for tweeting them in. If you guys have more questions, be sure to tweet them to @ShamanB, and we'll read them off. All right, first off, it looks like K-Birth. Have you ever thought about putting Valuetown or Deck Wars out as a vodcast? I haven't considered it, but now that you mentioned it, maybe I'll look into it too. Let's see, next one from Dur Deidre. What would you say is the best current deck for laddering from rank 5 to legend? Trump, I'll let you take this one.
Okay. There's currently three main classes out there. Yeah. That would be Warlock, Rogue, and Druid. Any of them, and then within those three, there are actually quite a few different decks. It's tough to say a best one, but the dust has kind of settled that I think you play any of those, and you could be considered to be playing the best deck. The key is just to not make any misplays with it, and that is sometimes difficult to do because you may not have enough experience to see the board state and see your hand and know that doing a particular path is a misplay, or you may not know that like doing this particular play is extremely critical in the matchup, or you have to play around a certain card. So just play one of those, and that would probably be considered the best deck, and more importantly than that choice is just playing it well.
Yeah, that's well said. Tice, what do you think?
I think the Druid is... I favor the Druid, maybe because I'm a Druid player, but... I feel it's really strong in this meta now. It has good matchups against aggro decks, better than the Warlock has. And I just favor it through the mid-match. It's just the most consistent class on the ladder now at the moment. But Miracle Rogue, and also maybe at the higher ranks, Handlock is really good. With all the Miracle Rogues on the ladder and the Druids. But yeah, that are the best classes at that rank, I think.
So which druid?
Maybe Dex-based Rogue.
There's so many. There are lots of druids. Even within that confines of like mid-range, between mid-range and ramp druid, there's all these hybrids too, right? As well as token too. So which druid are you talking about in particular?
I think the mid-range druid. Then play with cards like Black Knight. There are so many ramp druids on the ladder. Also Handlocks. I see some Handlocks still and... Black Knight is just a card that always swings in the meta, but now it's really strong again. It has the same story as Harrison. Sometimes you see all the big weapons and the warriors, and then you want to play with Harrison, and now is the time that you really want to play with the Black Knight again. And I think the mid-range with the double combo, because the ladder is still really fast, and with the fast ladder you want to put tempo in the game. So I think... a version of a druid with a double combo is really strong on the ladder now.
Yeah, I think I would agree with that. I've been crazy trying to do it with the paladin, but all I've been playing against are druid, rogue, and warlock. That's all I play against the entire time in that range. But one thing's for sure, and it kind of goes to the point that Trump was talking about, that there's no deck that's just going to easily get you through that phase. I mean, you have to grind with even these best decks at this point, you know, and it has a lot to do with just your play. You know, if you make any mistakes, then, you know, you're going to get a loss that you shouldn't have gotten, and it just sets you back, right? So really, you know, I guess really analyze your play, like your losses in particular, see if you could have made a different play at certain points. I know every time I take a look at mine, I'm just like, oh my God, I should have done that differently, because two turns later, I would be able to do this instead, and it would have been great. That's the bigger part is just playing well and not making mistakes. All right, next is, from Ego Plant, what single card would damage the current meta the most if you were to remove it from the game completely? Ooh, okay. Damage it or just change it? I don't know about damage, like maybe changing it, because I don't know if you would.
Well, I think that's Leroy Jenkins for sure. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're gonna change Leroy, there all the aggro decks are... Yes, it won't destroy them maybe, but it will change them really hard or hurt them really hard, and all the combos with the like the Miracle Rogue will just leave. There won't be a Miracle Rogue when you're gonna nerf the Leroy Hart or remove the card, I think.
All of a sudden, Druid is by far the best class after that. Trump, what do you think?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. There's a cascading effect, like not only do you damage those particular decks that run Leroy, you introduce a new type of deck into the ecosystem which can't run because currently you have cards like Leroy Jenkins and Force Savage, the slowish control decks.
Yeah.
And you could start running those. Like, so even like Chanman said, you remove a card, which is popular. I don't think you necessarily damage the metagame as much as you just change it. Like, if we're going to answer more of what card removed would damage the metagame, I'm going to say if you remove a good card from one of the less played classes. So just quick examples would be, you remove Fiery War Axe from Warrior, then Warrior is garbage. You remove, like, True Silver Champion from Paladin. You don't want to pick... like, my general design philosophy is I would like to see all the classes represented. So, in terms of next, I hope to see, like, some of the weaker classes get the better class cards, just as an example. That's something that I would hope to see, and happened with the Priest. And that's my take.
Okay. Good stuff. Let's see, next up, SM Cell... Man, S... I guess Scott McElroy, that's his name. Valleytown, Q&A, will Miracle Rogue be more or less consistent during new meta after Nax cards are out? That's pretty hard to... I think that's pretty hard to answer, right? You guys have any thoughts on that?
I have totally no idea.
Yeah.
Just because I really don't know how the meta will swing with all the new cards. I have no idea what will be the popular decks and the best decks.
Okay, I'll take a stab at it. So, since the wing release is going to be the Spider Wing, we happen to know three cards that are going to make it in. One is going to be Nerubian Egg, because that's a spider egg.
Yes.
One is going to be Web Spinner, since that's a spider. And one is going to be Anubar Ambusher, since that's a spider. Kind of. Wait, that's... Actually, Anubar Ambusher might not make it into that wing. But we know that Web Spinner will. That's not really going to matter. But the thing that will matter is Nerubian Egg. And I think Nerubian Egg is a serious threat to the Miracle Rogue, since... actually, it might not be, since you can't really trade it off that easily. But it might swing the favor in Zoo, in terms of Zoo versus Miracle Rogue, just as a quick example. So that might be a thing.
Mm. That's true. Yeah, those Eviscerates won't be quite as impactful because you can't completely remove that. Yeah, I think generally speaking, I think that's probably true. It's not going to get any better. From what I've seen, just with the cards, that I can't see. I didn't like just right off the top of my head see something that Miracle could even more exploit. Can get even better with right off the top of my head. But if there's anything, I would say it'd be less consistent than more so than more. But, okay, let's move on then to Shali 1989. Will Nax coming out on the 22nd, what classes are you three most excited to play around with first? Okay. All right, so what class do you guys want to play? I guess once you get the cards from the first dungeon, is there any class that you're most excited about experimenting with? Tice, I'll let you take this one first.
I will probably try just Druid because it's my class. I play just a lot of Druid, so I'm gonna try something with Druid for sure. I think Shaman is really interesting. I think Shaman is a class that can really do well with all the death rattles. So
yeah.
With all the hex and with the Urshock. So I think Shaman can be really interesting, and just maybe the Priest. Priest can be, it's just a few, I'm not sure, but I heard a lot of people think that Priest can make it. Can make a really good comeback and can be really good after the next cards, but I'm not sure. But for sure that I'm gonna play some Druid and Shaman.
Okay, Trump.
What I'm looking forward to the most is playing the classes that I've underplayed the entire time. Mm-hmm. So, and just playing different deck types. It's likely going to change week by week, literally because there's going to be new cards released week by week. And I might lean towards more of the classes which have their class card released that particular week.
Yeah.
Now that I think about it, like, Mixna, the second spider boss, is that? Let's see. She might be the one with the priest cards because she's got cultists with her, so maybe priest.
Yeah.
And then even the web spinner, like, it's kind of looks like just a filler card, but I think it could have a bigger impact than that, and I'm looking forward to running Beast Synergy Hunter decks also.
Yeah, that's me too. Like, basically Hunters, Hunter, I want to kind of get back to and start trying some stuff in this very first dungeon with Nax. I'll probably try Zoo too, just because I feel like Zoo will be could potentially have an upgrade with an Aruvian Egg just to try it out. I don't think I would play a lot though. I just kind of want to see like how what the power will be like with it. But Hunter and Priest, I think Priest too. I think Priest will be interesting, and I'm kind of curious to see if like Mass Dispel will have any like impact too. Just given that there's so much, you know, there's so much death rattle now, like on a lot of these new Nax cards. If Dispel will have more power than it has right now, so cool. Let's see next. Let's see, Jay Lou Marion. Do you think there is a Leeroy nerf incoming, and if so, how would you implement it? I don't think so. I don't think it's necessary right now. Do you guys think so? Tice?
I think they're just going to bring the cards out first, and after a month, or maybe after just 2 or 3 weeks, they will maybe remake some cards or make some changes, because the new next cards will swing the whole meta, and maybe there are just other cards that will get really popular and just be way too strong. So I don't think they will nerf Leeroy now at this moment, or even another card.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, maybe they should nerf it. Like it's so strong in so many decks. I really like that if it will be one more mana or something like that. But just that it doesn't combo that hard.
Okay, so one more mana, but still giving you the whelps.
Yeah, the whelps are okay, I think. Or maybe just, I had some really funny nerf, like, make a whelp with a 1-1 taunt. Like, something like that is really interesting. Just the 4 manas, Leeroy, but then the one of the whelp is a taunt. So the Leeroy can't go face. You need to trigger the one of the...
Right.
You need to get rid of the 1-1 taunt first. But yeah, I don't know.
That's interesting. Trump, what do you think? Do you think Leeroy needs a nerf right now?
If it needed a nerf, then this would not be the time to do it because the metagame will shift up for a while. And I believe I read somewhere about how they don't Blizzard intends to not make any changes immediately, since there's understandably so, since the meta is going to change drastically over week by week over the next month.
Yeah. Okay. Justin Ashworth, speculate the types of cards you expect to see from next that hasn't been revealed yet. We've talked about that in the past, and it's hard to speculate what they're going to put. So we might as well not speculate and just wait for them to come out in the next 5 weeks, because we're going to see them all. Tay Lurum asks, Q&A, was Rogue really considered one of the lower-tier classes during closed beta? Yeah, I think at one point it was, right? Wasn't Rogue considered... I mean, there was a Tempo Rogue that was always decent in closed beta, but I think it was considered like bottom three at some points, right? If I'm remembering correctly. Trump, do you remember?
It kind of depends on what era you're talking about. One of my... in the early month of beta, there's like a tournament, and I won it with a control Rogue type. And in fact, Rogue was one of the classes which got the most nerfs to it, including their hero ability, Backstab. Shiv getting increased by a mana, Defias Ringleader getting nerfed, to some extent, other neutral cards which had synergy with Rogue. So at one point, it was definitely considered the strongest class in beta. It just depends on your timeline of it. Miracle wasn't around for quite some time, or it wasn't around in a good form.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, there was the questing adventurer slash mana addict version of the Miracle for a little bit. But I think towards the end of closed beta, though, it was nerfed to the point where I think a lot of people weren't playing it. It's one of the first overpowered classes, though, with the coin scrub. And gosh, the backstab used to be so good back then, too. But yeah, so I think it's been there. I think the only class that hasn't been maybe considered in the lower tier is... Druid, I think. Maybe Warlock, too. Warlock and Druid, I think, maybe are the only two classes I've never considered in the lower tier at some point in Hearthstone history. Closed beta, at least. Let's see. Seth asks, to reach top 16 on ladder this month, should a player innovate, you know, with the new Nax cards, or farm the people who try to innovate with unpolished decks?
it's hard to counter the people that interfere because there will be there's so many options. They will try so many stuff. It's hard to predict what they gonna bring, I think. But yeah, that's also a reason. So it's hard to just make your deck. It will be really hard. I really don't know how you can hit top 16 with all these new cards. You just have to find the best or strongest deck as the first one, maybe.
Right, and that would be innovation. Throughout history, a lot of the players we consider to be great hit top 16 with, they trailblazed a new deck. Just quick examples which come to mind are Life Coach with his Hunter deck, and he really brought together like a more solid late game Hunter, which wasn't known at the time, and then he got there. There were some people who enjoyed playing Freeze Mage about a month ago who got up to Legend before people started realizing how to play entirely about it. I think that the best way to hit top 16 Legend in particular, since there's so much knowledge of the best decks currently, is to play something, to have a good knowledge of what those baseline decks are and then actually take advantage of them. If you're going to play like a crappy deck, which is like, well, not crappy, but just you're innovating and you haven't found the best use for it, you're going to not do as well in the beginning. But if you come out something good, I'm sure you can. I think that would be the best way to get to top 16.
Yeah, I think so too. All right, Noah the Regime, why is Chillwind Yeti considered such a staple card in Hearthstone? Okay, Trump, I know Yeti's always been a big topic, whether it's Arena or it's in Constructed. I'll give you that question.
Okay, the basic way to think of it is Yeti is the Cadillac of efficiency. It's when you think about all the cards in the game which cost 4 mana, it's very difficult to come up with answers to a Yeti. So you've got your Swipe, which does 4 damage, which costs 4 mana. You've got your True Silver Champion, which does 4 damage and costs 4 mana. Like, even for Rogues, their Eviscerate just does 4. So this 5 health point is really important. When you think about minions that the Yeti can face on 4 mana, there is almost nothing that will defeat a Yeti. Like, that's not a class card, or is a class card with a drawback. I'm looking at Lightspawn, for example. Mm-hmm. So, and not only that, the Yeti is also strong because if you innervate it out early, it has a lot of health, so like the Eviscerate early, even though it only costs 2 mana, still can't take it down. Mm-hmm. And you just put on so much pressure with it. So it just happens to have the stats organized in a way that's the best possible way. It seems like 5 health was the magic number for 4 mana, and it has enough threatening attack that it does significant damage. Now, while that's all interesting, at the same time, the only deck that plays the Yeti currently in popular meta is Druid, probably because you can innervate it out.
Yeah. I mean, I think there are some other mid-range, like Shaman, right? I think mid-range Shamans run it too sometimes. Like, Strife ran it, right, when you're in that crazy mid-range. But that archetype is, yeah, pretty much only mid-range will run a Chillwind these days. What do you think, Tyth? Like, what do you think about, or why do you think Yeti is such a big staple in Hearthstone?
Yeah, it's just, Trump explained it already. It's just the stats with the 5 HP. It's just the 5 HP. It's not the 4 damage or something. Mm-hmm. Just that turn 4 with 5 heal. I don't think there's any good answer. Maybe a fireball that can destroy that turn 4, but that's only the mage. But you just can't get rid of it at turn 4. Most of the times, if you play a Yeti at turn 4, it just survives, or your opponent has to play a card and trade something from the board into your Yeti. Just the value that you get out of a Yeti is really big, mm-hmm. especially in Arena. Always pick the cards like Yeti in Arena, I think.
Yeah, it's nice that it's, you know, anybody can get it too, right? It's a vanilla card. It's great. It's nice to have like a vanilla card like that just being so important, or just so prevalent in the metagame too. I think that's really good aspect of the game.
I'm mixed on that. See, really? At, you don't at like that? One point, like, it's cool that you have this basic deck that everyone, basic card that everyone can get their hands on, and it's nice and all. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's kind of boring. Like, this is the base set, so it's cool, but it's like, there's nothing cool you can do with the Yeti. You innervated it out, and this is a complaint that some of the top players were giving, like Gaara, for example, with his video. He was like, okay, so you're playing a druid. There's not much you can do to, like, show your skill. If you've got innervate and you've got Yeti, you innervate out the Yeti, and then you hit the face with the Yeti, and then, like, sometimes when they've got a card that they have to play, then maybe you consider hitting the face with the Yeti, or you consider hitting their minion, but either way, you really win. So, in some way, it's good that in the opening set, there is a good vanilla minion, mm-hmm. but then, in the expansions, the key is going to be to create cards that are like the Yeti, but more complex. Like, they lose an attack, but they have some ability. Kind of like the Violet Teacher.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I can agree with that. And that's what we're about to see here in next, I think. Which would be cool. I mean, it'd be nice if there was... You could combo it. You know, you can combo something with Yeti, right? Give it some type of death rattle, or give it some kind of ability outside of just, like, taunting and stuff you can do with Mark. That might make that card even more dynamic, too, in a way. Okay, so here's a question. Do you think that Blizzard should release more... after Nax, right? Just this is obviously the first expansion. Do you think the release period should be more often?
A bit more often, but not too much. Like, I think, like, three times in a year, mm-hmm. something like that will be a good statement. Don't do it every month. That's too much. Like, or the meta that we had was really good, but now the last month everyone is a bit sad. Everyone wants the next cards now, and they already announced it, so everyone is hyped now. But I think, like, three times in a year is a good way to do it.
Yeah, Trump, what do you think?
I think that's excellent timing. My dream release period date would be either every 3 months, which would be four times in a year, every 4 months, which would be three times in a year, or, like, I feel like this would be a little slow, but every 6 months, so that's two times in a year. Like, somewhere in that range would be best, and I happen to think, like, I'm more towards the four releases a year, but I'm also very enthusiastic with three releases a year. I'm okay with two releases a year. Please don't make it only one release a year.
Oh, gosh, no, man, definitely don't do that. Yeah, I think I would agree with you. And given that Nax is coming out July 22nd, I think it's probably going to be, at least for this, maybe the first 12 months, like three times a year. Because if they release it right before BlizzCon, that might actually be kind of bad. Given that, you know, just the some of the regional qualifiers and stuff will be played, you know, just in this, you know, this Nax release, right, versus the next one. So I'm thinking they'll probably release the next one after BlizzCon, which would put that 4 months out, roughly. But yeah, at the minimum three, I'd be happy with two. And I think that's enough, too. If you're going to release, like, what do you think about the release set? Do you think they should release, like, 30 cards, or do you think that's enough? Or do you think that it should be more than the collection that they're releasing this time?
I think it's a nice number. 30 cards will already just swing the meta a lot. You can do it maybe to 50, but don't go... I think 30 are already more than enough.
Okay. Trump, what do you think? 30 enough?
I haven't given too much thought to it. I think 30 is a bit light. You get one class card each, and then you have the 21 neutrals. I feel like you could get higher, and then it's also one of those things that can vary, like... you could have one major thing and then two smaller things. And the major thing would be something like, oh my gosh, we released a new class, like Death Knight or Monk, which will happen someday. I'm almost certain of that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there will be new classes. I mean, that seems to be the most logical thing. Okay, last question, or maybe two more questions. Sorry. Question from Monkey Pumpkin. Hello, my last name is Jenkins, and my partner is having a baby. Should we call it Leroy? Trump, What do you think? Should they call him Leroy Jenkins?
If you think that's a name that will
a diplomatic
bring
answer.
You pride and admiration and not just be like a knee-jerk now, but like in 20 years you look at it and you're like, ah, yes, I'm really glad I named my son Leroy, then by all means, like, it is something that has a bit of meaning, and it's cool.
Tice. Should he?
Don't do it. I feel for that kid, man. Don't do that. Every time on the when he goes to school, when he sees something on the street, he will get nightmares out of it.
Yeah, I'd probably lean towards not doing it. Maybe call him Lee Jenkins.
Yeah, it's everyone Leroy Jenkins. Like when he goes to school, everyone is going Leroy.
Yeah. That's gotta get boring after a while. Yeah. Have to go through that for like 18, 20 years of that. Last question. Let's see what's good. Let's try to find a good one here. All right, here's a question about Warrior. I guess it's just more of a general question we can discuss. Do you think Control Warrior... what are your thoughts on Control Warrior in the current metagame? Trump? Go ahead, Tice. Go ahead.
The problem with... Like, I played a lot of Control Warrior, but the problem with the Warrior at the moment is that it is really hard in this meta with all the Druids. The Druids are really strong against the Warrior, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And also, it just sticks against that miracle most of the times. They don't have an answer for the conceal gadgets, and a lot of times they are too slow because they don't run mid game drops. They really rely on their late game drops, and they have no mid range power. There are lots of mid range warrior decks now, but for the control warrior, it's really hard at this meta, I feel.
Trump?
Yeah. Hard in the meta is you look at the warrior versus, and this is something that kind of requires a lot of experience from both sides of the table, like as playing the control warrior and playing the other side. You look at the individual matchups against what's popular right now. It's like, do you really want to take a warrior against a druid? Not really. Do you really want to take a warrior against a miracle rogue? Not really. Do you want to take a warrior against a backspace rogue? Yeah, kind of. Do you want to take a warrior against Handlock? Kind of, and do you really want to take Warrior against Sue? Depends on how you build it. So when you think about all of those matchups, you're like lukewarm on quite a few of them, and you're like, it's not really that great, but at least it's not terrible. So my thoughts are that generally Warrior is kind of like a less good control druid at the moment.
Yeah, I think that's a good description too. And control warriors, I mean, there's a range of what you're talking about with control warrior too. I mean, there's been lots of mods lately. You know, obviously, a lot of people talked about the Kit Kat's Korkron mod, but even lately, right, we've seen some warriors from Tides and even recent tweaks. It seems like Sunwalker's like in everything these days, in every single deck. So we were even seeing that sort of bit. But in general, I think the removal just for a warrior just isn't optimal enough to get through druids that have so many targets, or even Handlock that punishes you if you don't, like, really, really badly if you don't get it at the right time. And yeah, Rogue is just a bad matchup. At least Miracle Rogue is. So tough times for Warrior, which is too bad, because I mean, I Warrior's like one of my favorite classes too, and I think we'll see a resurgence of it with Anax cards. We'll see Warrior come back, hopefully. But all right, guys. Well, that's going to be it for your questions this week. Thanks for tweeting those questions. It's always it's always great to get a chance to have you guys interact with the show. And given we had so much time today, we kind of blew through the topics today, so we had a lot of time for questions from you guys. Let's go into shout-outs. Let's wrap up the show. Tice, you got any thank yous and shout-outs? It's really great having you on, buddy, and getting your thoughts and everything. You being such a top player.
Thanks that I could be in this show, and shout out to my team, Meet Your Makers. Shout out to RDU that is still playing in the IEM. Yeah. Watch him out. He's going to win the tournament, I have the feeling. And follow me on my Facebook and on my Twitter. It's just Tice IS. And follow me on Twitch too. I started streaming. I streamed 4 days already the last week, and this week or already 3 days too, or 4 or 5 hours. I really like streaming, and yeah, follow me and watch me out.
Trump, shout outs, thank yous.
Yep, shout out to Team Solo Mid.
Yeah, nice.
And shout out to Reginald, who treated me to KFC, well, fried chicken of some sort, in the past. We were just talking about War and Control and how, like, we're trashing on it, and Kit Kat showed up in chat and said, oh, I'm top 30 legend, which goes to show you that ultimately there are classes, there are people who can take these classes, and, like, to some extent, it is mentality of the mob and groupthink, which is saying these classes are bad, but, you know, they're competitive. Kalento with the Paladin Control, you've got Kit Kats with the Warrior Control. You've got Amaz leading the way with Priest. Shout out to him. Shout out for him being so scary that people are banning Priest against him. That's pretty awesome. And shout out to my sponsors of Team Solo Mid, including Alienware, HyperX, and Logitech.
That's not fair, man. See, Kit Kats has a relationship with the Brawl gods, okay? And Amaz has some relationship with Ragnaros too. We can't all be that. We can't all be privy to that type of or whatever deals that they've got, because Kit Kats never loses Brawl. I mean, you know, what's up with that? I mean, if I could never lose Brawl, then man, my warrior would be awesome too.
You need to play at least 2 Brawls. He's still playing with 1, I think. True, he needs to run 2 Brawls.
He's not utilizing his advantage enough. But definitely Kit Kats, man. You should watch him play Warrior, guys. If you've never played him Warrior, if you've never watched him, because he ends up doing some amazing things with Warrior. But for me, shout outs just for you guys for doing the show with me today. It's always great fun doing this each and every week with you. And then Trump, obviously my buddy, and doing this every week with me. And all the viewers for watching today. I know it's been a busy day with IEM coming up, and then just all this news now too. So thanks for tuning in today. The VODs will be up on youtube.com/ChamMV shortly after the show. And again, 2 events coming up. You can watch the semifinals for IEM later tonight, and then DreamHack Valencia is going to be starting, might be like right now actually, in the Spanish cast. And then it'll be Friday and Saturday too. So check that out. Other than that, just one thing. We're going to probably post a little bit more. I'm going to be doing a fireside chat here in South Florida, fireside gathering here in South Florida with Strelzik. We're going to both be organizing that. We're going to have a tournament too. You know, like the whole fireside gatherings are going to have these tournaments now that can qualify for the Zotacs and stuff to qualify for the BlizzCon qualifiers. So come down. You want to play some Hearthstone? Want to win a local tournament? Come and check that out here in South Florida. We'll post it soon. I think Strelzik will be posting it soon, and you guys can find out some more information on that. But that's going to be it, guys, for Value Town. So for Tice, Trump, and myself, JMMB, we will see you next time. Peace.